This is episode 34 of IDRA Class Notes.
Every teacher wants every child to succeed and become scientifically literate and proficient individuals. And that requires them to be able to think critically and make informed decisions as not only individuals, but as people in society, as citizens, to be able to make decisions on things that are up for voting, to make decisions on expansion of the city. And if they don't have opportunities to see the cause and effects that could happen, then they cannot make informed decisions, and then they cannot be scientifically literate individuals.
Welcome to the Class Notes podcast by the Intercultural Development Research Association. I'm Dr. Bradley Scott, and it's really good to be with you again. Remember, IDRA is a small organization with a very big mission, and that mission is to create schools to work for all children. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve all students. Now, don't forget, we encourage you to share your thoughts and questions and suggestions. There will be details at the end of this podcast on how to contact us. We've set up an email alert also to let you know when a new podcast or episode of Class Notes is available. Now, if you're not subscribing to this podcast, our email alerts can help you to stay up to date. So just go to our website and sign up. I want to also let you know about a monthly electronic newsletter that we have called Graduation for All. And I want you to be sure to go to our website and look at that wonderful, wonderful newsletter. You can get informed, you can get connected, and you can get results. By the way, it's free and it shares news and resources focusing on graduating all students across the country. So just go to our website and sign up. Well, today we have a really exciting topic and one that is really curious to me. It's teaching opportunities through discovery with Veronica Betancourt. Veronica is a science education specialist at IDRA. She has a master's of science degree in bicultural bilingual studies and a bachelor's of science degree in biology. She is certified in composite science and English as a second language. So it's a great combination that we have in Veronica. Now, during her years as a classroom teacher, she taught classes like biology, marine biology, environmental science, integrated physics and chemistry, chemistry in the community, which is very important, and oceanography. And here at IDRA, she has led the development of our Science Smart professional development model. But more than that, she brings this wonderful combination of teaching, energy, enthusiasm for science that is really infectious. I mean, as you find yourself around Veronica and listen to the way she can explain science and make it so approachable, it is a wonderful experience. And I think you'll be excited about our conversation today. But Veronica, let me say welcome to you.
Thank you. I'm absolutely grateful to be here, and it's always a pleasure talking with you, Dr. Scott.
It's a delight to have you here, but you have to help me out. Why did you pick this topic, teaching opportunities through discovery?
I think one of the critical pieces that we maybe hear about occasionally, but soon forget, is what it means to discover. We talk about hands-on. We talk about inquiry science. National Science Education Standards talks very much about what it means to be inquiry-based. And discovery really is a huge component of that. It's not just about allowing students to manipulate things and look at pictures and just get online to practice things. It's not a monotony, and it's not about scientific facts and figures. It's about allowing children to discover how the world around them works through opportunities. And that's why we chose this topic.
So you're saying then that discovery is hands-on science and it is inquiry, or that discovery is more than just hands-on science and just inquiry?
It is a combination of all. It absolutely requires the hands-on, because many of our learners are visual learners. And it also allows for students to, there needs to be a negotiation between students with each other, not just with the teacher, who is often considered the expert in the subject. Children themselves can become proficient in science and become experts if given an opportunity to learn and discuss. So discovery is about encompassing the hands-on and using manipulatives and finding opportunities of learning through experiments and going out into the world to discover. And more importantly, justifying their findings to find internal consistency in those experiments and not just refer back to a textbook or to the teacher for verification so that they can be challenged with each other. And that's the only way they're going to be able to really discover what it is that they're trying to learn.
That's interesting. But, I mean, are schools really set up to deal with that kind of learning? Are school cultures and environments and classrooms structured that way, given standards and those things that schools tend to be focused on? Can you really get out into the world and discover as much as getting whatever the state standards in a given state happen to be in the area of science?
Absolutely. But what it takes is some perseverance, and it takes some patience with teachers, because many of the school settings, especially in secondary, are not conducive to allow for those kinds of experiences. And so teachers as innovators and teachers as agents of change have to take the initiative and take the risks in order to create that opportunity for students. And that might mean for, let's say, for example, an inner city school who is surrounded by tall buildings
and concrete and no trees.
Exactly. To be able to go out and explore and find out how the air quality is affected because of where they are. Or to go out and discuss what are some opportunities of growing a garden and how that would possibly improve the air quality. Whereas children who live in a rural area might look at ways of land grading and how that would affect them if they're on a farm, you know, how that might affect their being. Opportunities exist in any part and any corner in any school. It's a matter of taking the time to look for those opportunities.
Or taking the time to discover.
That's right.
What is this?
It's a matter of discovering it.
Well, anyway, Veronica, thanks for that. That just helped me out, and I hope it was useful for our listeners. Tell us, what do we need to know about this whole area or this whole issue, topic of discovery in science?
Some of the critical components is when we are planning our lessons as teachers, we're driven by instruction, and that leads to then assessment. Sometimes assessment leads to the informed instruction. So depending on the way you approach it, there's going to be different paths to take. But it all leads to the same thing. Every teacher wants every child to succeed and become scientifically literate and proficient individuals. And that requires them to be able to think critically and make informed decisions as not only individuals, but as people in society, as citizens, to be able to make decisions on things that are up for voting, to make decisions on expansion of the city. And if they don't have opportunities to see the cause and effects that could happen, then they cannot make informed decisions, and then they cannot be scientifically literate individuals. And so being able to discover means providing this opportunity. So teachers need to kind of let go. It's so hard because we are the center of attention so often, and we tend to do what we were taught, and that's be a direct teach. And that's to offer information and then regurgitation to ensure that they were listening. And what are the notes? And how do we do this? And no, don't do it this way. If they're young children, we tend to want to help them so they can learn from the experience. But the best experience is allowing to learn from their mistakes. So discovery really does need to be an opportunity for students to work through it themselves and together without necessarily being guided directly by the teacher. We have the teacher there as a facilitator to offer some inquiry questions that'll help guide them versus, well, let me give you the answer because we're on a time frame. And that's the hard part, is saying, well, I have all of these standards to meet. How do I cover those standards in the time that I'm given?
Right.
And it's being innovative. It's understanding that it's not about worksheets and it's not about ancillaries. But it's about providing authentic learning experiences for children in whatever the case that might be. So for somebody in, let's say, New York City, that might be with the environment around them and the opportunities of finding out, let's say if they're in secondary education and they're in chemistry, what products can be produced that allow for a better product, building product. Whereas if they were living in, let's say, McAllen, Texas, it might be, how does the weather affect the crops that we're growing? Or how does the expansion of the city going to affect our water supply? Or, you know, find experiences that directly affect the children, that's connecting them to their background and connecting them to the world around them. And so that they can gain from that, it becomes a meaningful, authentic learning experience.
So, Veronica, it seems to me because teachers have this crunch for time and you have a certain number of standards that you need to meet within a period of time, is there pushback from teachers about not having enough time to do this kind of teaching as opposed to this direct teaching that you alluded to?
In my experiences working with teachers, that, and as an experienced teacher myself, that is the number one reason that teachers hesitate to let go.
Yeah.
Is because of the time. But through creative planning and proper preparation, teachers can integrate multiple standards on multiple levels into one lesson and actually have expand the time of lesson learning. Because one of the critical pieces is, what is the point of covering every standard that is provided if there is no learning that is taking place, because it's about regurgitation or because it's about short-term memory or the here and now. Students don't have opportunities to apply that knowledge, and so there's no meaning behind it. And if it's a very procedural or prescriptive experience, such as growing a bean plant in elementary school and what that means, if teachers are given them prescriptive amounts, take one cup of this and put it in this and give them this amount of water and check it on these times of the days, that allows for them to show how it's important to have particular constraints as far as the experiment goes and controls for the end versus the variables. But students don't have an opportunity to find out, well, what if I change this? If students don't have that discovery moment to say, I didn't give it enough water, how will they know that it's water that they need?
Mm.
You know, how will they know that it's what happens? And that's what's going to cause the leaves to turn and for the plant to wilt and for, you know, the sun. And you can talk about various variables, but if you're giving it to the students, the meaning is lost to some degree.
Makes a lot of sense. So, Veronica, what 3, 4, 5 things should a teacher of science do to become the kind of teacher who embraces discovery as an approach to handling science? What are some of the things they need to do?
I think the first and foremost thing is to let go. And that's not to say that you are not having any control of your classroom. But letting go is to allow time for students to engage in discussion. Some of the things I've heard are, well, the kids don't stay on task. Well, I can't, you know, I need to know what's happening, and we only have X amount of time in the classroom. And if it's very, you can still be guided without being overly protective. And part of that might be, for example, to say, here are some questions you want to answer. And then as they learn that they need to talk to each other and work as a collaborative group to learn from each other versus going to teacher and saying, I don't understand this, they begin to rely on themselves. The responsibility begins to shift from that of teacher as teacher to students as learners and teachers. And teacher becomes facilitator. And so that they are there to help guide them into the right direction, but they are not there to tell them how to walk that path. And so that's the first thing, is letting go. And that doesn't mean that you start from the beginning of class and it's chaos the whole time.
Sure,
I like
sure.
to call it controlled chaos.
Controlled chaos.
Active learning is going to be loud. And so part of that is also discussing with administrators what they can expect when you walk in the classroom. If you see this and my kids are doing this and walking around, that doesn't mean I don't control the class. Listen to what they're doing. Watch them, observe them, and ask them, and see that they are learning science in an active way. That's one of the most important things, is letting go. The second thing is asking students, getting student voice. What is it that they're interested in? How does what their interests are tie into what they need to learn? Find that connection to build on their background and to build on their knowledge. Because children come in with a rich, rich background and varied experiences. But if we don't take advantage of it, we're just spinning our wheels. So build on what they bring in, regardless of what grade level they are. And, you know, ask them. The third thing is to ask kids not just what their interests are, but the justification of why things work the way they do. Not just why do you think this, but to offer options, especially for young children who have not had experiences justifying. For example, one of the many things that they do in early childhood is they grow bean plants. Let's grow plants. You can bring various things. Let's see what it's about. They can predict things. Well, what do you think is going to happen if? But then give options. Do you think that if we put it off to the side, it's going to grow up or it's going to grow out the same direction? So by providing options, children can choose one or the other and then find out why or why not their option
was right. By testing their hypotheses.
Exactly.
And so forth.
Versus saying, well, what do you think? Well, I don't know what to think because I have kind of, I'm not really sure.
I haven't done anything
exactly.
Around.
Yeah, give them options to choose from and that will build on their background. So that's one of the other important key things.
So what does a teacher's lesson plan or instructional plan need to look like to create this kind of a learning experience for kids around discovery?
One of the most important things that teachers have to keep in mind is the standards that they are looking at. And that's like the general overview of it. Students must learn about this. But that doesn't mean that just because an ancillary says it covers it, it does, or that you have to have a worksheet. Sometimes we equate quantity with quality, and that is not necessarily what it is. What it is being able to, the lesson plan has to incorporate the use of various materials that allow for student discovery, for students to ask and inquire. It also involves teachers asking students within groups, giving them different opportunities, having learning centers versus everybody's doing the same thing in the classroom. It means having a portfolio, perhaps. Maybe not necessarily a science journal, but vary the types of assessments that are happening. It doesn't have to be paper pencil. It doesn't have to be necessarily lab. Various states have various requirements for lab, and lab means different things. Find out from your state what lab actually entails and how they define it. It could be something as simple as predicting. It just depends, but a lesson plan should always encompass feedback from the students, the assessment piece, opportunities for engagement and discussion with each other, and most importantly, when teachers are facilitating, is to listen for and look for opportunities that kids are using vocabulary and main ideas and you know, the technical vocabulary that comes, or technical terminology that comes with the science learning.
So, Veronica, I know that you work with many school districts across this region and have been around the country, in fact. What, in your opinion, what kind of supports, administrative supports, do teachers need to sustain this kind of rich scientific learning engagement that you've been talking about?
I think some of the most critical things that they need to look at is they have to have a conversation with their administrators, whether it's their department chair or whether it's the lead teacher or whether it's the curriculum coach.
Or the principal.
And the principal especially, mm-hmm. is to ask them what they expect out of the classroom, to let them know what they want out of the classroom and how they can actually support that. Even to provide some suggestions, such as, I really want to be able to have a discovery garden. Can you show me where I can create one? What materials or what monies are available so that I can have this? Well, you know, we don't have this. Okay, well, what are some alternatives that you can offer me, mm-hmm. because I want to provide this for my children? So to have an open discussion, and sometimes what we call a courageous conversation with administrators, is not because administrators are unapproachable, but because if we don't ask, we won't get it. So being able to establish what those expectations are between administrators and teachers and let them know what your expectations are of children and make sure that everybody's in the same path. That is the most important thing. Find out what technology is available. Find out what resources you have. If you have computers, maybe not in the classroom, but on campus, how often can you take your kids there to use it for some online work? There are so many virtual labs out there. So many museums have opportunities for interactive activities,
sure,
for
sure.
children, so they can take virtual field trips if monies are tight. It's a matter of taking the time. Get together with a colleague. Find out what they use. Try to collaborate with them. You know, there's so much learning that can happen outside of the classroom. It's a matter of finding those pathways.
So our time is running short, but let me ask you, what two final comments would you make for teachers around the notion of discovery and science?
I think that the most important thing is, as you go and discover for yourself what is out there for your children, take risks. Allow yourselves an opportunity to step outside the box. Put yourselves in the viewpoint of the learner and ask yourself, if I were my children, would I want to be learning this the way I'm being taught? And if your answer is no, then rethink about what it would take to engage you as the learner and provide those opportunities for your children. Because we, no matter how old we get, we still want to be engaged. We still want opportunities to discuss and partake in conversation with other individuals, and children are no different. And I think that would probably be the most critical thing, is to take risks and let go a little bit and allow children to be the scientists that they are.
Well, Veronica, I just want to tell you in closing that I think about my 8th grade science teacher, who for me was a nightmare, and then I think about you, and you have totally changed my image of science teachers. Your enthusiasm, the clarity of your thinking, the ease with which you make science so approachable is just absolutely a joy to listen to and to engage with you around. Once again, it's been a delight talking to you, and to our listeners, as we are closing out, I do want to remind you that we really want to get your thoughts and hear your questions and your suggestions on this podcast series. So please go to our website and join us. We love hearing from you. We love to hear your comments. We love to hear your remarks about the various podcasts, class notes you've listened to, and are excited always to be able to have an opportunity to interact with you. Don't forget to sign up for our electronic newsletter, and don't forget to go online and listen to some of the previous podcasts that we have provided to you. Veronica Betancourt, it's been a delight talking with you this afternoon about this wonderful area of discovery and about those keys to discovery can unlock in science. Thank you for that. And I'll be looking forward to talking to you again, Veronica.
Thank you. And I cannot tell you how much of a pleasure it is to sit here and have and be able to converse with you on science. I just can't stop thinking about it.
Thank you, Veronica.
Thanks.
And to everyone, take care until the next time.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.